Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Spread, presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread, and I am joined by the Catacho. How's it going, buddy?
Going well.
So, before we get going with the show today, we missed last week, which was a little bit of a train wreck, but something I wanted to bring up last week was Catracho was in Vegas for the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. So I want to know three things that happened to you. For starters, I want to know a bet that you made that you pretty much just walked away the minute you knew it, the minute you placed it, and you knew you had a winner. I also want to hear about a bet that had you pounding beers. And finally, I want to know about a bet that either was really good and ended badly, or looked really bad and you ended up making some miraculous comeback.
All right, let's start with a bet that I knew when I walked away was going to be good. With Kentucky first to 15, it was a prop bet against, let's see, who was it they played in the first round there? Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but first to 15, I knew as soon as I walked away.
They didn't have Belmont, did they? That was Duke.
I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were down. Yeah, they were down at the beginning and came back to, like, take it 15 to 13, I believe. So that one had me a little scared, but I knew when I made it that I was going to be making some money. One that I thought was a winner, I think it was Virginia Belmont, maybe? Or, yeah.
Yeah,
I took the halftime spread of 8 points. And I believe Virginia was up by 10 with, like, less than a minute to go, and a guy from Belmont hits a three-pointer from, like, just inside half court. To take it down to 7, so that one killed me. One that had me pounding beers was Butler against Notre Dame. I took Butler, I believe, was a +3.5, and ended up losing by 3. But in overtime, that one had me sweating in overtime. But it was a good win.
Yeah, and they just made that, I want to say, on a layup at the end of the game. Where Notre Dame wasn't guarding anybody. Because I remember I was also on Butler +3, and I remember it was just kind of like a miracle ending that nobody cared. They scored a basket at the very end.
Yeah, it was a meaningless basket, but it made all the difference to me.
Yeah, I got to admit, I had a few of those throughout the tournament that didn't go my way. So, you know, getting that Butler one was nice. And I don't know if you were watching it, but in the Duke-Utah game that was on Saturday evening, Utah hit a basket to cover. And then Duke had to inbound the ball. But I'm trying to think. The line was like 5 or 6. I think it was 5.5. So it had to be 5.5 because what happened was Utah hit a basket, so they were down 5. They inbound the ball for Duke, and the guy gets fouled with like 7/10 left, but it was like a late whistle. The clock ran out. Everybody was running on the court. People were leaving, and I was just sweating because I wasn't sure if they were going to make him come back on and shoot the free throw or not. And we only needed him to make one to go from winning by five to winning by six, and he missed the first one and then sank the second one. But that one was one of those games where I felt like I deserved getting redemption because there was a couple other games early on in the tournament that I got screwed on because of late second meaningless field goals. But, you know, luckily redemption happens. You know, they'll all come back. It's so hard because it always feels like the bad things always comes in groups.
Yeah, so that's exactly how it goes.
Yeah, it's always that way. So, but today's show, we are going to talk about – so we've only got three college basketball games left if we're talking about the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's really a whole lot of value talking about any of these other games that are going on in the other tournaments. You know, I mean, we want to talk about them maybe. I don't really see a whole lot going on. But, you know, I think the big ones that we need to talk about obviously are going to be the Final Four. So right now, looking at these games, we've got Wisconsin-Kentucky, we've got Michigan State-Duke. Kentucky and Duke are both five-point favorites. I haven't seen the lines really move. This is where I saw them when I first glanced at it, but I didn't see any initial lines come out to know where these are going. So, but they've been sitting at five for a couple of days now. I'm liking the spot. I don't think five is a horrible number to cover. I don't think five is a horrible number if you are taking points here. What is your initial feeling seeing both of these lines at five, Catracho?
I like both of the underdogs in this one. And for the most part, this tournament has been all about the underdogs. That first weekend was rough for the favorites. The first day, I think none of the favorites covered. So I like it. Michigan State's been playing great. The Izzo factor has come highly into play during this postseason run as a 7 seed, beating Virginia. I mean, they're just on a roll right now. And Wisconsin, I believe, will be the toughest test for Kentucky, even though Notre Dame played them pretty well. But I think that Wisconsin has a lot of firepower, and it's possible that we could see two Big Ten teams in the final. I do like Kentucky to beat Wisconsin just because of the fact that I think they're a little more athletic. But I think Wisconsin and Michigan State both have a good chance of covering. The big issue for Michigan State will be if they can contain Jahlil Okafor in the post, because they're not a very big team either. But I think they're going to be two good games, and I like the underdogs in both.
Now, with Michigan State, there's two sides to this that I like and dislike about Michigan State. First thing that I like is that I feel like with their guards, with what Trice is doing, I don't know if you consider Valentine a guard or not. I think some people actually do. But I like Michigan's guard play because I think that will be enough to keep them at least in the game against Duke. What I don't like about Michigan State, though, is I don't know if they have enough offensive firepower across the entire team to keep up with Duke, because Duke has just been on a tear offensively. How do you look at the offense of Michigan State? Do you think – I mean, obviously, if you like the underdog, you think it's enough to at least keep up with Duke, but do you think that could be a downfall for Michigan State?
I do think it could be a downfall for Michigan State. If they can keep it close, if they can try to keep Duke from scoring, I think they have a better chance. But like you said, their offense isn't necessarily the best. You know, they've relied kind of heavily on Trice to hit some big shots. Valentine, like you said, has been playing pretty well. But do they have enough to keep up with Duke if it's a shootout? That is a good question, and I think it would come down to a no in that respect. But if they can keep them – you know, a low-scoring game for Duke, then it's possible that with a limited amount of firepower that Michigan State has, that they keep it close and they cover that spread.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I'm right there. I think both of these games, you know, just the way that all four teams have played, you know, these games are going to be close. I don't see any of them really being able to pull away in here. So, you know, we've got that to consider when we're taking a look at these two. Now let's go over to the other one. Let's talk Wisconsin, Kentucky. The thing that I feel is going to make a big difference in this matchup is going to be Decker of Wisconsin. Now I started to notice this guy a little bit down the stretch because he was hitting shots. You know, this guy really became a pretty solid player for the Badgers late in the season. And on the other show that I do, the Fantasy Freeway, Troy's a big Wisconsin fan, so he's been talking up Decker and a lot of the Wisconsin guys. So I got to be a little familiar with them because of the show. But the thing that I think he is going to be most effective doing is he's going to get some of the bigger players of Kentucky to have to guard him out on the perimeter, which, as we saw against Virginia, those giants, when they're able to just pretty much cluster up against the basket, you have to kick out anything that you're driving because you're not going to score on them. Who is your guy on Wisconsin that you think has to be the difference maker for Wisconsin to be able to win?
I think you're right on with Sam Decker. I think Trayvon Jackson, I think, is also going to be a big one. Kaminsky, everybody already knows about. I think that's going to be kind of the one that Kentucky focuses in on. And watching that Notre Dame game, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is a very athletic big man. I mean, he's not going to give him much on the offensive end for Kentucky, but he'll be able to stay along the perimeter with Kaminsky or Decker, depending on who he's guarding, to make it harder on them. So I think it may be, you know, Trayvon Jackson or someone along those lines is going to have to step up for Wisconsin and make some big baskets and get it going a little bit on the offensive end to kind of spread out that Kentucky defense that can, you know, put a stranglehold on anyone if they really want to. But, you know, the big guys, Kaminsky, Decker, they're probably going to get theirs regardless of what happens because they are very skilled players. But I'd look at Jackson to kind of step up and make a difference in this game.
So when we're looking at point totals, do you think, and if I remember correctly, both games on Sunday went over and both games on Saturday went over the totals. So if we're looking at point totals, for Wisconsin, Kentucky at 131 and Michigan State, Duke at 139. I'm liking that Wisconsin, Kentucky over 131. Michigan State, Duke 139. Points are starting to get a little high there, but I think what we saw from Michigan State going against Louisville was that, you know, they're going to score points. It's going to be a high scoring game. For Michigan State to be able to win. So I'm thinking I like the over in both of these right now. Try to talk me off of that, or are you agreeing with me?
You know, I think that Tom Izzo may try to make it more of a defensive battle because Duke is such a good offensive team. I know right now Wisconsin's averaging like 80 points per game in this, you know, in the postseason. So that's a team, you know, can put up points. We already know that Kentucky can put up points and get out on the break and make things happen. So I kind of like the over in the Wisconsin-Kentucky game just because of the firepower that both teams have. With the Duke-Michigan State game, I see it possibly being more of a defensive battle. So I may look at the under in that game rather than the over. I know Michigan State has put up some points as well, and Duke's been tearing through everyone, but I think that one's going to be more of a defensive battle, and I'm looking at the under in that game.
All right. Yeah, like I said, I'm not quite sold on it yet. I haven't fully done all my analysis, so I can kind of go either way on them right now, but knowing what Wisconsin has done, knowing what Michigan State has done, you know, I know they're going to be able to give Kentucky and Duke a run for their money. So it'll be fun to see. We'll have to get some plays up for everybody a little closer to Saturday at tip-off. Right now, we do have our video up for the Spread TV, and we are taking Duke minus 5 and Wisconsin plus 5. But a lot can change between now and then. So, you know, my reasoning for Duke, I think their offense is just a little too good. And my reasoning for Wisconsin is I just feel that Decker is going to be able to open up some things as long as that shot's dropping of his. And that could maybe put Kentucky's defense in a little bit of a strain because they're not going to be able to play the way that they are used to playing throughout the season. But we will see. Those games are tipping off on Saturday. Then we will have the championship game on Monday. So let's talk a future championship game. Who do you see winning right now between these four teams? Who's going to win two games?
I like Kentucky. I mean, I know we talked about it in the show before everything started. I believe Kentucky was plus 167 against the field. So I put my money on Kentucky at the beginning. I thought they had a very easy road in. I know we had talked about Duke and Gonzaga also being in a weak bracket down there, which is, I mean, exactly what happened. You know, they ran through it and, you know, played against each other. And now Duke's primed for another spot in the final. But I like Kentucky and Duke to be in the final, and I like Kentucky to pull it out. I just think their defense is just too good when they want it to be. And, you know, they've had a couple of tough tests so far with Notre Dame. I know prior to that they kind of wiped the floor with, I believe it was West Virginia, but only because that player from West Virginia was talking trash about how they were going to beat them. So,
things to do in your lifetime.
Yeah, I think Kentucky is just going to be a little too much for Wisconsin in the end. I like Wisconsin to give them a tough game, and then I'd like them to beat Duke in the final as well.
Yeah, I didn't jump on that Kentucky plus 167, and I'm really kicking myself for not doing it right now. The one future bet that I hit in the tournament was Duke plus 176 getting into the Final Four, which they did. But I lost on my Arizona future. I lost on my Arizona championship future. And I lost on Villanova getting to the Final Four as well. So didn't do too well in the future categories there. I just felt like Kentucky was too easy. I don't know why that would have swayed me off of it, but for some reason I kind of felt like it was just too easy to be betting that and trying to get some money that way. But obviously that was a bad decision not to do it. So that's going to get us through here. I want to say Kentucky. It just seems too easy to say Kentucky's going to roll through these next two games. But it makes sense. They've definitely been the best team all season, and they've rolled through this tournament so far. And although these are going to be the hardest two games for them, I think they can win them. I think they're good enough to win both. So moving on to the NBA, we've got a big slate of games tonight. I'll give you guys our free play first, which is, see if I can even find it right now, Philadelphia, Washington. We bet this one earlier in the day when it was at 193. It has since gone down to 190 for a point total. We are on the under on this one, and it is moving in our direction, which is a good thing. Washington's also 9.5-point favorites. I feel like that's too high. I don't see this Washington team beating Philadelphia by that much. But then again, Washington is where they're at because they have been very good bum slayers in the East all season. What do you like for both the spread and the point total on that one?
I think, you know, ESPN right now has it in Washington at minus 10.5. I think that's pretty high. Like you said, I mean, Philadelphia has kind of surprised people from time to time this season, but they are still the bums of the East. But I think that one's a little too high, and I like the under in that as well.
Yeah, Philadelphia has done a good job of getting out and running. I think they've got one of the higher paces in the league this year. Unfortunately, that has not translated into points for them. So a lot of possessions, not a lot of points. That's two bad trends to have right there. or it's a bad trend to have if you're not scoring a lot of points to be having that many possessions. But so I think we're in agreement there. Like I said, we're going under. We're at 193. 190 is starting to get into that range of that's not a whole lot of points to be scoring. So I don't know if I'd be jumping on 190. But I would say for this case, if you want to get in on that at 190, I still think it's a pretty decent play. So Philadelphia, Washington, under 190. That is the only play I made today. As big as the board is, I don't know how much value I saw, at least earlier today when I looked at it. We are now 15 minutes from the first tip-off, and we can roll through these and see where the lines have shaken out to see if we like any more. Detroit-Charlotte. Detroit is 5-point underdogs. This line, I want to say, opened at about 3.5, so it is moving in Charlotte's direction right now. You got a feeling on this one way or another?
The Pistons have been tough. I know they're playing in Charlotte, but, you know, Charlotte's still fighting for a playoff spot. Detroit's kind of out of it, but still in it because the East is just that weak. But I like Charlotte to pull this one off.
Yeah, I keep having that thought in my head about Detroit, how they went on that little run after they got rid of Josh Smith. And so I keep thinking that, like, that's the team that's out there right now. But then I look at the standings, and they're still 10 games under 500 or whatever they end up being. So, yeah, I can't put my faith in Detroit right here. So I'm thinking Charlotte -5. Probably going to be the way I would go on it. I'm not willing to make that one an official one, though. Over-under is 196.5. I think the under might be a really good play on that one as well. But I'm probably going to stay away from it just because I don't want to make a rash decision this close to game time. Next one, we've got San Antonio at Orlando. San Antonio, 10-point favorites. They opened at 7 or 8, so this is definitely moving in San Antonio's direction. Over-under is at 197.5. San Antonio is playing second of back-to-back. They played at Miami last night. The old men are going to Orlando tonight. Is 10 points too much for them on back-to-back road games?
I would say that it is, especially since they played the Heat last night and Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker all played. So it's a possibility that at the last minute they may be pulled from the game tonight. So I
well, this is
think
the last minute right
half.
Now. I mean, they're not going to be
yeah,
playing,
I mean,
there's got to be some news out there.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything come across, but it's possible they don't play that much anyway. So
yeah, they're like they're playing, but they're not really getting normal minutes.
Yeah, so I mean, coming off a back-to-back, a rematch of the finals, even though LeBron's still not, you know, with the Heat anymore, I like Orlando to cover that 10.5.
Yeah, I was really surprised this one was that high. I was surprised it moved even higher. And at this point now, I'm surprised I can't find any news about anybody sitting. So, yeah, I think Orlando plus 10, but it's a good one to stay away from just because you don't know who's going to be playing for San Antonio. Orlando's been pretty banged up lately, too. I know late last week they were down to like 8 or 9 players on their active roster, one of those games. So it's a toss-up right there. 197.5. I've got to say I like the under again. I don't know why. Just you figure a lot of guys are sitting for San Antonio. Orlando's kind of banged up. They're just not going to be a lot of guys out there to get points. But, yeah, good, another one to pass on. So those are the three 705 games. Only thing we'd be making a play on would be Philadelphia and Washington, which we already got in on. Now, 7:35 tip-off, Indiana versus Boston. We've got Boston 4-point favorites at home, over under 200.5. I am liking Boston -4 here. I think they've been playing tough at home. And Indiana, just every time you think that they're turning the corner and they're going to start playing well, they don't. Every time you think they're getting guys back from injury, they don't come back. So I like Boston -4. Who you got?
I would agree with you on this one. I'd take Boston -4 as well. Like you said, they've been really good at home. Indiana really hasn't shown anything to say that they're going to be playing well for an extended amount of time.
They've been really up and down this year as they were waiting for Paul George to return, but they just haven't shown enough for me to say that they've turned a corner, like you said, and they're, you know, fighting hard every game. So I go with Boston in this game. And Boston, you know, had been up there fighting for a playoff spot, and I know the two teams are only a game apart. Like we said, I mean, the East is horrible. But I like Boston to win this game and kind of keep up the streak that they've been having to see if they can actually make the playoffs. So I'd take Boston minus four.
I think if Boston makes it, it'd be really surprising, especially after trading away Rondo, just to see them actually making a run after they trade away probably their best player or their biggest player, maybe we want to put it. Next game, Brooklyn versus New York. We've got the Nets are 9.5-point favorites on the road. Over-under is 194.5. This Knicks team is pesky. Every time you think they're about to get blown out, they come in and they get a win. Every time you think they can keep it close, they lose by 30. This is a great game to stay away from. I don't like really either team and what they've been doing for me lately. If I was leaning one way, I would probably take the Knicks just because they are at home. They're getting a lot of points. But talk me out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good game to stay away from as well. like you said, the Knicks, you know, in that game they played against the Bulls, I believe, on Saturday night. You know, the Bulls just destroyed them so bad that the players on the bench were doing the wave along with the fans. So you never really know what you're going to get with the Knicks team, but this Knicks team is just horrible in my opinion. And I like them to get beat handily by the Nets, who, you know, are kind of really streaky this year as well, but they're still fighting for a playoff spot. Deron Williams and Joe Johnson have been up and down this year, but I like them to, you know, beat New York and, you know, kind of win, I guess, the Battle of the Borough or something they call it now over there. So I just think they're the better team, and I think 9.5 is a large spread, but I think Brooklyn can get it done.
So the Knicks, let's look at a prop here, over under 92 points for their team total. Would you take the over or the under, knowing how bad of defense or how little defense Brooklyn bothers to play?
You know, that's tough to say. I think I might take the over of 92.5 because Brooklyn, like you said, their defense is horrible. I mean, they're really focused on offense compared to their defense. I mean, they don't really have anybody in the post that can stop anyone. I mean, Brooke Lopez isn't a defensive stopper or a rebounder. So I would like the Knicks to take that one. I think with what's the Italian guy's name that's on their team? You know, he's been playing pretty well for the Knicks. So, I mean, he can fill it up if he needs to. So I think I'd take the over on the Knicks prop bet in that instance, but I still don't like them to come anywhere near that 9.5.
Yeah. All right. Just thought I'd throw that one out there for us, take a look at some other things. Next, we've got the Bulls at the Bucks. The Bulls are 5.5-point favorites going up to Milwaukee. Over-under is at 191.5. I kind of like the over on this one, even though the Bucks do play some really good defense, just because I think that number is a little low. I also think I like the Bucks plus 5.5, even with the run that the Bulls have been on lately here. I just think they're able to keep this one close because of that defense. You leaning one way or the other on this?
You know, being a lifelong Bulls fan, I've seen them kind of up and down this year where just when you think they should be blowing out a team, they're getting beat. For instance, when I was in Vegas, they were playing Toronto, and I believe they were, you know, a 2-point favorite at home. I said stay away from it because Toronto had been playing well, and then they beat Toronto by 16.
the next night they go up to Detroit and they're a 2-point favorite again, and I say, okay, that's probably a good bet. You know, they just beat a team at the top of the conference, and then they get blown out by 16 by the Pistons. So, I mean, since then, they played really well against Charlotte, Toronto again, and, of course, the Knicks game from Saturday night. But I'm not sure. You know, they've kind of struggled against the Bucks this season. Jason Kidd kind of has the Bucks playing decent right now. So I would stay away from it just because of the fact that I don't like betting on my own team. But if I had to choose, I would take the Bulls. And I think that spread is kind of favorable for the Bulls. So I would lean on that game, but it's not one that I would be secure in betting.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't like playing a Milwaukee team getting points because they do play defense. I just don't think that makes a whole lot of doesn't make me feel easy placing that bet and then watching the results of the game. The game that you had mentioned, the Chicago-Toronto game a couple weeks ago, if I remember correctly, the Raptors had a bunch of late-minute scratches that they decided to hold some guys out of that game. And, you know, I think that's a big reason why the Bulls ended up blowing them out so much, especially having, you know, jumping on the -2, but you can't count on that happening every game where a team's going to scratch half their roster. So we've got, speaking of the Raptors, we've got the Toronto heading into Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. Raptors, 9.5-point favorites, over-unders at 204. I actually like Minnesota plus 9.5, and call me crazy, but I think Minnesota plus 425 on the money line may actually be a nice little wager to throw down here. Toronto, I feel that has just been way too inconsistent and has not played very well since an early season run. So this is kind of one of those games you start looking at as where can we get some really good value. I think Minnesota plus 425 could have a little bit of value. What do you think?
You know, I think Toronto's coming off a big win against Houston the other night. Houston's been really hot lately, and, you know, it was a close game. They beat them by 3, obviously, at home. But like you said, Minnesota has been playing pretty well as of late as well. That 9.5 points is quite a bit of points. So I think I would take the Timberwolves, you know, with the points in that instance. But I don't know that I would put my money on the money line for Toronto in this instance. But I do like Toronto to cover that spread. I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, so...
I like Minnesota to cover the spread.
All right, so let's make this one an official play because we're both kind of liking the 9.5. So we're going to throw 5 units on that one, and that is going to be an official CTS play that we discussed right here on the show.
Let's slow down there, JA. I'm seeing some news that Garnett, Rubio, and Kevin Martin are all out tonight.
Whoa,
so that
that's some news.
Yeah. So that's probably the reason that it's at 9.5 right now. You still have Andrew Wiggins, who's been playing well lately. You still have Zach Levin, Pekovic, those guys. But without the floor general, Garnett's kind of been an emotional boost for the team. And with Toronto coming off that win against Houston at home, I kind of like Toronto now. So.
Well, Wiggins, I really like what Wiggins has been doing. But, yeah, you're right. With the rest of those guys out, I think that's just too much to be overlooking. All right, so we'll take a pass on that. So knowing those guys are out over under 203.5, that just actually moved down. Do you like the under on that?
I think I do like the under.
Or just to stay away from because that many guys are out.
Yeah, with that many guys out, you don't really know. Reading some more info, they say Pekovic might not play either. So, and Gorgio Dang. So, Minnesota's not going to have that much defense in the post.
you know, Toronto's not a big post team, but they do get a lot of points in the paint. So I think that's kind of a tough game to really take. So
what we're getting at here is Minnesota's tanking this one.
I think Minnesota is going to tank this one. So okay. I'd stay away from that game.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move on. Then we've got Dallas, Oklahoma City, the Thunder, 2.5-point favorites at home. We've got over under 213.5. Seems like a lot of points for two teams that really are hard to figure out consistency-wise. The Mavericks have just been kind of on a downward spiral. I think Oklahoma City minus 2.5 is the play to make. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I like OKC. I know Monte Ellis is out. You know, Dirk just hasn't really been the same this year. Parsons has been playing okay. Rondo, you know, has been up and down. I'm not 100% comfortable with him with Dallas yet. I think it'll take, you know, an offseason for him to get used to Rick Carlisle and, you know, the offense with Dallas. And the Thunder have been kind of up and down, but I like the Thunder, you know, a minus 2.5 in this game.
All right, we'll come back to that one so we don't jump the gun on making an official play again. But OKC minus 2.5, kind of the way we're both thinking right now. I do like that. I think that could be a good one. So we'll come back on that one once we finish up the rest of the card here. Sacramento at Houston. We've got Houston 10-point favorites at home, over under 211.5. Is this a good bounce back opportunity for Houston to just really pound away on this Kings team?
Yeah, I think I would probably take Houston this instance. We can check to see if there's any news on anyone sitting out. I don't believe there is. Besides the fact that Dwight Howard's still not, you know, 100% and kind of sitting out every other game, basically. But I just think that James Harden is just having a great season. And I just think the Kings still haven't really put it together with all the talent that they have. So I like Houston in this game.
Trying to pull up the injuries to see if we do have anybody out for them. But I'm going to write down Houston as another potential play for tonight. And we've got Howard has been ruled out for Wednesday's game.
Yeah, I'm seeing Rudy Gay
Terrence
as well.
Jones. I don't know. Terrence Jones is coming back tonight. All right, I've got Terrence Jones status out, and it says he confirmed that he will return Wednesday. The next line says Terrence Jones out, thinks he'll be able to play Wednesday. So I don't know if that makes a difference for you, but with Howard out, minus 10, does that make you feel better or worse about this one?
You know, I just think Houston's been able to get it done this year with or without him. So I like him to get it done in this game as well.
All right.
And I know the Kings are going to be without Rudy Gay. So that, you know, that's a big player for them. And like I said, I mean, they just really haven't put it together at all. Not even with mm-hmm. George Karl coming on board, which I thought would make a difference. But, you know, they've lost back-to-back games against New Orleans and Memphis by 14 after strong wins against Phoenix and the Wizards. But like we said earlier, the Wizards really haven't been playing that great this season. So, I mean, those aren't really good, I guess, games to judge Sacramento on. But, you know, those losses that they've had recently, I would lean on taking the Rockets in this game.
Okay. All right. So we'll do Rockets minus 10. Next one, we've got Denver at Utah. Denver is 5-point underdogs on the road. Does that game do anything for you with two teams that are essentially in the middle of a tank fest?
You know, I think Denver has been playing really up and down. You know, they're kind of tanking their season. I think Utah, you know, they've had a really up and down season as well. I mean, they lost, you know, four out of their last six, but they were playing Golden State and Portland. They lost to Denver at Denver by 16, but then they beat Oklahoma City and Minnesota at home. Minnesota on the road as well. So you never really know what you're going to get with either one of these teams. So that's a game that I would stay away from, you know, in regards to betting on my own or giving advice for anyone to bet that game. But if I, you know, gun to my head, I would probably take the Jazz, but I don't like the game at the current line that it's at right now. If it were to come down to something maybe like a 3-point spread, then I would probably go with the Jazz.
Yeah, if it was within four, or somewhere under four, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. But five just seems a little too much for me. We've got the Clippers coming off that tough loss at home against Golden State last night. They go up to Portland. Portland's 3-point favorites. My typical feeling is that a good team like the Clippers, losing one night at home, going on the road the next night, tend to bounce back really well. Portland's been playing well at home, though. I mean, they're pretty tough to beat up there. And let's see if we've got any news, if Aldridge is going to be playing tonight, because I know he's been kind of in and out, and he's looks like he's good to go. So Portland -3, stay away from. What are you thinking?
I like the Blazers at home. I think, like you said, it's a tough place for them to play. For visiting teams to come in and play at, you know, they've had decent wins lately against Denver and Phoenix at home, beating Utah and Phoenix on the road. They lost a battle against Golden State at home. You know, they've struggled on the road. Like you said, Aldridge wasn't, you know, in the lineup 100%, but I like Portland to get it done at home. And like you said, with the Clippers coming off of a loss last night, I think that they'll be tired tonight after playing a tough Golden State team, regardless of that. They weren't on a 7-game win streak, but the teams they had played against, Charlotte, Sacramento, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, those aren't names that we're looking at this year as being, you know, top teams. No, New Orleans is fighting pretty hard right now, so they can secure their spot in the playoffs, but that's another team that they beat, which is at the bottom of the playoff race in the Western Conference. So I wouldn't say they necessarily beat anybody of substance. So I like Portland to get this done. And I think, like we were talking about with the Jazz and Nuggets, if that game was at a 3-point spread, I like the Blazers with a 3-point spread at home.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I can go with that one. So last game, we've got New Orleans at the Lakers. New Orleans, 9.5-point favorites on the road. This Laker team is fighting. They are playing decently, although they've been pretty decimated this season. I think this is a good game to stay away from because I want to take the points at home with the Lakers. But then again, New Orleans has just really known how to beat up on these types of low-end teams. So I'm happy passing if you are. And then we just kind of have to make a decision between Portland, OKC, and Houston. Let's pick two out of those three and see which way we want to go for an official plays.
Yeah, I'm not real comfortable with this game either. I think, like I said, New Orleans is kind of fighting to secure their playoff spot. They've been playing pretty well lately, even though they're still missing Ryan Anderson. But since the brow has been back, he's been playing really well. So,
yeah.
I mean, they destroyed Sacramento and Minnesota in games on Friday and Sunday. So they're coming off a pretty decent rest and then going to L.A. So I would say I would probably take the Pelicans in this game. But I'd like a little bit of a closer spread. I think 9 points is kind of high. I know they're looking to also sweep the season series against the Lakers. And the Lakers, obviously, this year is not their year. I don't think next year will be their year either. but, you know, the Lakers have been on the road, the past five games. So coming home, I mean, this would be a good game for them to have what we would call a statement game. But I like